Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Do you struggle to feel close to God in the middle of your hectic, stressful days? When your mind is racing, prayer can feel like just another task instead of a place to rest. Discover a new way to connect with God in Prayer in Motion by Jennifer Tucker. This beautiful guide helps you weave prayer into your everyday routines through simple movements, grounding practices, and connection tools. Even in the middle of your busy life, God is near, inviting you to rest in His presence. Prayer in Motion is available now wherever books are sold.
Second hour, Darren Donica Chase here on this Friday. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Let's head down to New Orleans. Let's talk to Jeff Duncan, who covers the Saints for The Athletic. Jeff, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. How's it going today?
Well, Mike Vrabel is currently speaking, and he can't avoid the Clowney questions, which have been brought up over and over and over again. But it looks like your market and the team that you cover may be honing in on the services of Clowney. How serious is that getting down there, in your opinion?
Well, it's very similar here, as you can imagine. I mean, Clowney's got huge name recognition for fans, and a lot of fans obviously interested here to see if the Saints can lure him to New Orleans. I mean, it's a little interesting that they have so much interest in him. Obviously, they are all in to try and get back to the Super Bowl and win another Lombardi Trophy with Drew Brees. This might be his final year. That's what we all believe will happen. So it makes sense from that regard, but they are very stacked along the defensive line, and I know are very happy with their depth there and their talent there. So this almost feels like, as they say in New Orleans, lanyap by bringing or at least showing interest in Clowney. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. I think his agent, Buss Cook, is doing a great job of stirring up interest right now in his client.
Yeah, that's a good point. Here we look at it as, I don't want to say they have to have Clowney to have success on defense, but because of their losses and because of the uncertainty of some of the other guys right now, there's no doubt that that kind of maybe tilts the scales for them. How do they feel in New Orleans? Like, what's the difference between having Clowney, not having Clowney? Big deal, not a big deal?
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal at all if they miss on it. To me, this reminds me a lot of the Saints a few years ago making a big push to try and get Ndamukong Suh. So I think it's a very similar type of player, not in the way, obviously, they play different positions, but a guy that has a little bit of a reputation of, an on-off switch, can turn it on and be dominant, but also might take a few plays off. That's almost identical to what happened with the Saints a few years ago. And I don't think they need Clowney at all. I'm a little curious as to why they're all in on, other than they look at the roster of quarterbacks they play this year. And it's unbelievable, guys. I mean, they have two games, obviously, against Tom Brady, starting with the opener. They get Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, obviously, a couple of times. I mean, it just goes on. And you can never have enough great pass rushers. And I think they feel, just like the Titans, that they'll be getting a motivated Clowney, because it basically looks like a one-year prove-it deal that he's going to sign wherever he signs. And those often turn out to be very beneficial to the team that brings him in.
I noticed, Jeff, you didn't say they were going to face Teddy Bridgewater two times a year, so not a big
Good
deal.
Well, I mean, look, Teddy was the perfect backup here in New Orleans, and we were talking about this on the beat this week. If Drew Brees goes down, I think it's the biggest worry I have for this Saints team, because they don't have someone like Teddy Bridgewater, a really smart game manager. This team is so complete. Look, the Titans fans saw him last year. They went into Nashville and really kind of handled Tennessee in a game. I know Tennessee didn't use Derrick Henry in that game, but the Saints won with defense, special teams. They can win a lot of ways. They don't have to just rely on Drew Brees now. They got a good running game. So they just need a quarterback who's not going to beat them right now, because they're talented enough to win without him. And I don't think Jameis Winston has ever had that reputation of a guy that's not going to make mistakes and manage the game. So it'll be interesting to see if Breeze does have to miss some time this year, how the Saints handle it. Do they go with Winston or do they go to Taysom Hill?
So how has he looked? Speaking of that, let's segue into Winston. Is an offensive-minded coach like Peyton, can he fix and correct some of the mentalities that Winston has had over the years? Like you said, he's a gunslinger, and he can have lots of success, but he also can beat you in the same breath. How has he looked? Has he been throwing a lot of interceptions? How would you say the feedback has been on him to this point?
He looks exactly like the Jameis Winston we saw in Tampa.
Oh.
You know, one throw is, wow, what an arm. He fit that into an incredibly tight window. Next throw goes 5 yards over the receiver's head into the arms of a defensive back. I don't know if you can fix that. I have a lot of respect for Sean Payton. I know what he's trying to do. This is right out of the Bill Parcells school of personnel procurement. A former first-round pick, a number one overall pick, washes out somewhere else. You get him in your building and see if you can harness that talent. Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick does that in New England. That's what the Saints are trying to do. It's a low-risk, potentially high-reward investment. They got him basically at the minimum, and they're going to give it a shot. But the interesting thing is, guys, is I don't know when he's going to get a chance to play. There's no preseason games here. Obviously, Breeze is going to start, so the evaluation is going to be done strictly in practice, and I'm not sure that's how you evaluate Jameis Winston, because most of his drawbacks are in decision-making, and that's not going to happen much in practice, I don't think.
Jeff Duncan is with us, and he is one of the best when it comes to knowing what's going on down in New Orleans with the Saints, and the Jadeveon Clowney issue seems to be coming to a head. And Jeff, as you might think, I mean, this has been hovering over everything for months with the Titans. So this is really crunch time here. I'm curious, because you mentioned Bus Cook, he knows how to play his cards. He's done it for a long, long time. And this may be creating the competition that he's been looking for all summer. But where you mentioned that it's sort of a luxury to have Clowney, if I'm reading you right. So what about what they could offer Clowney, salary cap-wise? And, you know, would they have to do anything special to get it? So I'm just trying to compare what they could offer Clowney in comparison to what the Titans have to offer.
Well, I can tell you this. A Saints source told me a couple months ago when they were linked to Clowney that he was asking for $17 million a year and the Saints weren't going near that number. Now, rumor around town right now is that he's looking around $10 million a year. That's more in the Saints' wheelhouse. They could probably rework some deals, and Mickey Loomis and Kai Harley in their front office are wizards at this type of work, to get him in. I don't think it's going to come down to that money issue unless there's a great disparity in the offers he gets. I think what the Saints are selling and what Sean Payton is trying to sell him, almost like a recruiter, is you come here, you can win a Super Bowl, you can get a ring. And I'm sure the Titans are saying the same thing. I think the Titans have a leg up in that the familiarity that Vrabel has with him, there's got to be some comfort there for Jadeveon Clowney and the fact that the Titans need him more. I'll be surprised if he ends up in New Orleans, but there's a lot of smoke coming out of down here. And my age of covering the NFL for 20 years, when you start seeing multiple reporters with multiple reports on one player like this, it's usually coming out of his agent's house.
Do you think that it's fair to say that the Titans could go as high as they need to? They could go higher than New Orleans can go in terms of what they could offer realistically to try to keep some room, right? You need some wiggle room, especially this year with your salary cap. You don't want to really be up against it with all the maneuvers that potentially you'd have to make.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I don't think the Saints are going to be the highest bidder in this derby at all. I don't think that's going to be their sell. Their sell is going to be, hey, come in here, be a part of a winning culture, play with all this talent, and you can play a role, be successful, and parlay it into a bigger deal next year on the open market. It worked for Teddy Bridgewater. That same kind of role on offense worked for him, and I think that's the sell to Jadeveon Clowney. But Clowney, if it comes down to money, he's not going to be coming to New Orleans.
We're talking to Jeff Duncan, does great work for The Athletic and covering the New Orleans Saints, has for a long time. Drew Brees, we know, is the field general, as you brought up, Winston coming in to be a backup. But how do you see Taysom Hill's role continue to evolve? I mean, we see him literally play just about every position on offense. But do you what kind of changes do you see with that this year?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't know if it's going to change much because Drew Brees is still the starter. And as long as Drew Brees is here, the offense is going to be built around his skill set and his talent. And that's why Taysom Hill became like the jack of all trades, because he's such a fantastic all-around athlete. He's so smart. He's able to learn all these different positions. There's a lot on his plate every week, and I'm not sure a lot of players could do what he does. And credit to Sean Payton for identifying his talent and utilizing it within the offensive package. I think it's going to be a very similar Taysom Hill role that we saw last year in the playoffs. If you remember against the Vikings, I think he got about 25 touches. He played one or two snaps at quarterback through a 50-yard pass to Deontay Harris. He's going to run the ball a little bit out of those packages. And I think he's going to be that guy again, and Jameis Winston will be the emergency backup in case Brees goes down the way Bridgewater was. But, I say this but, when Brees moves on, if he does retire through the year, then it'll be a different situation, because there'll be a true competition for the starting job, and Taysom Hill will be in that mix.
What have you seen so far about another versatile guy in Ty Montgomery, who spent a lot of time with Green Bay, I think it was with the Jets last year, but comes to the Saints for this season?
Yeah, look, I was dubious of him just because he hadn't done much in the last couple of years and kind of wandered around the league a little bit. But he's been terrific at camp. And this falls back a little bit into the belief that Sean Payton and this offensive staff, and you always have to include the Saints offensive staff in there, because they've all been together now for basically 15 years. It's pretty remarkable. And they are able to define roles, have a vision for players, use them, play to their strengths. And I know those are all kind of cliches, but they really do it here very well. You guys will remember Robert Meacham, former Tennessee Volunteer,
yep,
came in here, had a really good career in New Orleans, and signed away to go to San Diego and play for the Chargers. They tried to make him into a number one receiver and ended up cutting him after 1 year. And he didn't play well in San Diego. He comes back to New Orleans, is productive again. That's just the latest example of a guy that they just know how to play to his strengths. And the same thing, I think, is going to be true of Ty Montgomery. I think we're going to see him in the backfield with Alvin Kamara a lot. And you're going to have to defend those guys in the passing game, also in the running game. Kind of going to like the NBA is right now, guys, with positionless basketball. I think we're going to see that in the NFL, and Sean Payton's on the forefront of that with Taysom Hill.
Speaking of Alvin Kamara and former Tennessee players, how is that going to shake out? Obviously, his contract is a big conversation right now around the NFL. When does this – I'm not going to ask if. I really don't see them trading him. When do they get this done?
I think it's going to happen very soon. You know, now this Clowney thing kind of complicates it, because they're trying to work on that at the same time. But they're not far apart. And I think what we saw this past week was nothing more than last-minute gamesmanship between the team and the representatives of Alvin Kamara. They met with Sean Payton this week. Kamara's returned to practice. He knows that he's a part of this core in the post-Drew Brees era, and they need to get him under contract. And he's played and been incredibly productive in 3 years, and played on a third-round draft pick contract. He's been woefully underpaid, so they should reward him, especially at that position, as you all know, how much of a collision position it is. He doesn't want to go into this season without the long-term security of a long-term deal, so makes sense to get it done.
For those who have already drafted him, me, in their fantasy football draft, it is vitally important they keep him happy. All those fantasy owners out there, they need him in the lineup.
I can tell you a funny story on that. I'm in one fantasy league, and 3 years ago when Kamara was drafted, I was out at camp one day and got Payton off to the side, and we were just talking about some things. This kind of off the record. And at one point I said, you know, your young running back looks really good. I think he's going to play this year. And he turned to me and said, play? He's going to be dominant. And I remember that light bulb in my head went off, and I drafted Kamara. and I haven't looked back. It's been a keeper league. I've had him ever since.
Oh, that's a great story.
That's a great pickup.
No doubt. Good stuff as always. We'll continue to watch, be on Clowney Watch from here in Nashville and in New Orleans. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Jeff Duncan from The Athletic. He covers the Saints, and pretty interesting him saying, I don't know why New Orleans is making the strong push for Clowney. It's not like their defense really needs him, although he did mention they go up against some really good quarterbacks this year, and that may be factoring in as well. We'll come back. More on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nashville SC is back in action Sunday. They'll be taking on Inter Miami CF. That's at 7 o'clock this Sunday. The game will be on 94.9. Pre-game coverage will start at 6:45 p.m. By the way, you just made the list coming up at high noon. $25 gift card to Burger Republic. If you do not call in and participate, I don't care what the rules say at Cromwell Media, I'm taking that gift card. I don't care.
Okay.
It's either up to you guys to participate or I'm taking it. I'm going to make myself eligible. I don't care. That's how I roll. Because that's a good prize.
It is a good prize.
People should be calling in. Something should have you mad this week. Something or someone should have made you mad.
Guys,
what else do we have? What do we have after you just made the list?
Trey Wingo. And there's some news on Trey.
There is. But he is going to join us, and looking forward to that. Always enjoy our conversations with Trey Wingo.
And then we'll end the hour, end the show, excuse me, with a little Friday trivia that's in the final hour. Looking forward to next week when we get on the airwaves. We will, after Labor Day weekend, that we will bring some features, some from the past that we've been doing this time of year, and some that we haven't done, or one that we haven't done before, at least not with this person. So some new things next week to announce when we get back on the air on Tuesday. Now, Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach, just spoke via Zoom to the media while we were talking about the Saints and Jeff Duncan. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say.
I'm not sure.
I don't think we're past that time, but there's certainly a testing one. There's a testing protocol that they have to go through to be able to come in the building, and then that's just to be able to come in. And then also, you know, you're talking about getting ready to play, executing a game plan. How much of a factor that player would have in the game?
Luke.
Mike, typically today would be an off day after the last preseason game, the Friday before the roster decisions are due. I was curious, do you all plan on starting to make those decisions after practice today? Do you wait till tomorrow? And along with that, since there is practice the day before, is this an opportunity for guys to maybe make a final push, or is it sort of you already kind of know the direction things are going to go?
I think you have to have some sort of makeup. We've always, you know, since I've been here, we've always come in and worked those Fridays, Luke. So we might not have practiced, but we've worked. We've conditioned. We've lifted. We've met. So kind of just to give you some, you know, clarification on that. Every opportunity that I hope that we get as coaches and players to go out on the practice field, you know, it was an opportunity to help yourself and to help the team and try to correct mistakes or clean up details that have been talked about.
And then in practice, when you're working off to the side with a player who's coming back from an injury or something like Vic Beasley is, what is the goal of that exercise as you're doing that in process? Is it for you to evaluate where they are physically? Is it so that they can get some less physical work in? What's sort of going on when that happens?
I think that's probably both of what we're looking to do. It gives me an opportunity to see where the player is. It also gives that player an opportunity to work at a pace that's less than what would be asked of them in practice or a drill or an individual period. So, and then some players aren't even permitted to be at practice, you know, in Vic's case, or if a player that was on, you know, PUP would have to work with the training staff or the weight staff. But that's usually what it is. It allows me the opportunity to see, and it also allows the player to work back at a rate of speed that would be conducive to where he's at physically.
Jared?
Yeah, Mike, thanks for doing this. Question about the defense, assuming that you guys don't have Clowney, because right now, obviously, you don't. But fans would look at the roster, see guys that left off of last year's squad, and the lack of maybe new guys that are put onto the defense. For you, what would you say that, or where, now that you've seen the defense, where would you say they've improved from last year to this year?
You know, I don't think it's necessary to, you know, I think try to compare. I would never do that. Again, we have to make decisions every year. And those players obviously did some really, you know, good things for us, and some leadership that their presence had. But you know, we're continuing to work through the guys that are there with, you know, whether that be Jeff Simmons, who you know, I feel like is having a great camp. I'm excited about where he is physically and mentally. We talked about him a little bit yesterday. You know, and then some of the younger guys that you make decisions at in all positions, that we always do. So, you know, you go in each year that it's going to be different. There's going to be different players and different coaches. And you kind of construct and you coach a team, you know, based on the guys that we have here right now.
And Mike, on that, on the Clowney front, obviously, I know you can't talk about details of the deal, but how would you see his personality, knowing what you know, having coached him, fitting with this group that obviously is as strong as they are?
I mean, it's. I don't think it's too hard to function here and to be a great teammate. I think you have to love football, and I think you have to play with great effort and be willing to put the team first. That's what we really ask of these guys. And, you know, so those are the players that we target.
Joe?
And Mike, we saw kind of almost a social media campaign like last night with some of your guys reaching out to Clowney, tagging him. I mean, did you ask for some guys to reach out and try to make a push right now as you're pursuing him?
No, I think a lot of that gets, you know, that social media, you know, that's, stuff gets reported. And again, we have an offer out to JD, and we've talked to both him and his agent.
John Glenn.
No, Mike, when you're talking about Ryan Tannehill with the receivers, the word communication seems to come up a good bit. How important is that, you know, when he's talking with the receivers after completions, after incompletions, and is that a strong suit for him, do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's critical. I mean, I get that there's a quarterback coach, there's an offensive coordinator, there's a wide receiver coach. At the end of the day, the only thing that really matters is that the guy throwing the ball trusts the guys he's throwing to, and the guy that he's throwing it to is where the quarterback wants him to be when he needs to be there. So that's what we talk about a lot of times when they get out there and they get the call. It's going to be up to the players to be able to execute it and understand how the other guy that they're relying on to have a successful play is trying to do it. No different than maybe a combo coverage on defense, maybe a pass rush game or a blitz on defense, maybe a blocking scheme, a combination block on the offensive line.
There you go. There's some of Mike Vrabel today talking to the media. Wanted to get more of the Jadeveon Clowney stuff. They have had conversations with his agent, as you just heard him say. He was not behind the push on social media last night from his players to get Clowney services. I tell you, this is something to see how this has all played out as we sit here. I mean, you think about it. When we come back on the airwaves on next week, they're going to be less than a week away from starting their season. They're 6 days away. And, you know, other teams will be 5 days away from starting their season. So, and then some will be even less than that. Because there is a Thursday night game, is there not?
Yeah, Texans and Chiefs.
Texans and Chiefs, right?
Let's get down to it. He's signing today. I mean, I'd be 90% sure. If I'm him, I got to sign today. I got to get
where I'm
going.
Are you saying that because he was willing to be so open and talk about it?
I'm saying
I think you factor that in.
That it's coming to a head. It's pretty obvious with our conversation with Jeff Duncan and Vrabel's willingness, openness, the players' reaction last night, all of the, as Jeff called it, smoke that was happening last night. He's signing today. It's time to make this move. I think Bus Cook sees the moment. He sees that he has a little competition going. And let's just get down to it. The Titans have way more advantages than the Saints in terms of the cap space, the need. They've got to win. They've got to have this. They got to win this battle. They should not lose this negotiation. You know, you don't want to be dumb about it and go way over what you need to, and that's the needle you have to thread for John Robinson. But they should. It's, as Jeff said, it's a luxury for the Saints. They don't have a lot of cap room. They're trying to sign Kamara. They got a lot of other issues. It is gravy if they get Clowney. The Titans need Clowney. They should be able to get this done.
But if we're talking about when you listen to people discuss this now, 10, maybe 12 million a year for a year. I mean, honestly, what are we talking about? What is the holdup? I guess it's
you don't want to spend any more than you have to spend.
Yeah, just because you have it doesn't mean you want to spend it
all. You want to be able to have some maneuverability after you sign him. So you can't go crazy with it.
I'm saying, is he saying no to that? Or if that is a possibility.
That's what we don't know.
That's what we don't know, and I get it. Because you just said they need him. You heard me ask the question to Jeff Duncan. Do the Saints really need him on defense? And Jeff Duncan was like, I mean, not really. I mean,
exactly.
I don't really see why there's this great need to have him. Sure, he would be a nice addition, no doubt about it. They go up against some really good quarterbacks like Mahomes and Rodgers, and oh, by the way, a couple in their division twice in a season. So yeah, you know, they could certainly use him. But like, do they really need him? Not really. You just said they need Clowney. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of people that disagree with that. So if you need somebody, what are we talking about? Like, right? Like,
we're talking
$10 million. Like, everybody was thinking out of the gates, it was, you know, $20 million. Now we're talking about maybe half of that for a year when you already gave one guy $9.5 million. Who we don't even really know what he is or what he's going to bring to the table in Vic Beasley. I just wonder, I wish I knew who's, you know, who, what's the scene behind the scenes? Who is it? Is it John Robinson is not really being that aggressive and really hasn't gone for it?
It's been a poker game.
The other side is going, nah, that's too light, need more. I don't know.
But it's time to show the hand, though. Right? Yeah. This is a poker game that's been going on for a long time. John Robinson, I think, has had interest from the start. This is just how I read it. And he doesn't want to go any higher. I think he has recognized that Clowney wants to be a Titan, at least to a degree, right? He's got interest. The Mike Vrabel factor is out there. But he doesn't want to overpay. And he knows that at Jonathan Joseph. Sure, there's a lot
good
going
friends.
For them.
That's documented. They are good friends. So I definitely believe that is going to factor into this, outside of Vrabel, too.
Okay, but when you say it's time to show your cards, how do you show your cards, Willie, in a card game? How do you show your cards in poker?
You make your. This is when you make the offer.
No. How do you show? Show your cards in poker?
I don't
it's
really
when
play
you're
that.
All in. That's when you show your cards.
Yep. And I believe
you,
they are.
So right, if so, it's time to show your cards, then you go all in.
You
That's
make
when
your best
you lay
offer.
Your cards down.
This is when you make your best offer. And I have to believe that the Titans' best offer can go higher and more attractive than the Saints can go. And if it's a two-horse race and there's no, you know, team that comes out of nowhere and tries to beat that, then the Titans should be in great position.
This
unless Clowney is willing to not sign, and this is the time you got to sign if you're Clowney. Come on.
Yeah, because he wants the guaranteed part of the contract.
Exactly.
He's got to get that done. This is what I do believe. I think that the Titans.
This is what you believe or what you know?
This is what I believe. I think the Titans have made a big push behind the scenes. I do believe that John Robinson is working the phone right now. I walked away from the Jeff Duncan interview, and he's very connected with that team. He's covered the Saints for a long time, and that makes me think, okay, it's being reported nationally that they're all in and they're the blitz or however you want to put it. But this guy's saying, they don't really need him, you know, all that. I feel a little bit better from the Titans front after that interview, and I stand by what I have thought this entire offseason. I'm with you. I think the contract does get done today, and I believe that Jadeveon Clowney is going to be a Tennessee Titan. That's what I believe.
We've been down this road before.
Yeah, but
so
but
far,
now it's game time. It's game time.
Well, it's game time. What? Because you guys say it. I mean,
no,
you
can't
know.
Wait
no,
any
because
longer.
They play next week.
It's time. The season's starting. It's
well,
time
we've
to play.
Known this for like we when camp started, it was game time.
No,
right?
That's not true because Clowney
he doesn't
has been,
like training camp.
Clowney has been consistent, and he has said throughout he'll wait as long as he can. But you can't wait any longer if you want a guaranteed contract.
Yeah, Darren,
and you have any hopes of playing the first week?
You've been around long enough that you know that there are those guys, and I think that Clowney is one of those guys that. Done like camp, and there's no preseason games this year. Vrabel knows what he's getting. Vrabel knows what he's going to be like when he shows up, and so he's just waiting. He's going to wait till the very last minute, but it's time to get it done now because he wants the guaranteed money. If he waits until after the first week, the contract is not guaranteed, so that factors in. So
I don't know if he even signs, to be honest. Like that will become a real story.
Like sits out? Or just doesn't sign this week.
Why would he sign a non-guaranteed contract?
That's why it has to happen.
That's why it's
going to
be now.
I understand. That's what I'm saying. If it doesn't happen, I'm making the point for you guys. I don't know. Like there's a real shot. He goes, I think I'm just going to sit out, guys.
That's bad advice by Bus Cook if he advises him to do that. And I don't think so. Bus Cook goes way back. He knows how this stuff works. I think it's just this is it.
Well, he's creating the marketplace. There's no doubt about it.
You get your best deal today. This is as good as it's going to get.
He's creating the buzz about him.
Yeah.
Not a buzz.
He's not in a position of strength after today or after, you know, maybe it goes to tomorrow. I mean, but it has to happen before week one.
By Monday. By Monday, he's signed. I think
that's probably. Is it today or is it Monday?
I'm 90% sure it's in the next 24 hours.
We just went from today, like 2 minutes ago, to now
yes,
it's Monday.
Today.
Darren,
you know, okay.
60% of the today. Time, it works every time.
I'll stand by it. Today. Today.
Watch it throw Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday in there. Let's just cover all of our bases.
Friday, September 4th, 2020, Jadeveon Clowney becomes a Tennessee Titan. There. I'll lock it in.
Okay. Well, I know, I'm just saying, you realize 2 minutes ago you just said today, and then 2 minutes later you said Monday.
I'm 90% sure that he signs in the next 36 to 38 hours.
I'm 90% sure you guys don't know what you're talking about. That's what I know.
Willie's worse than I am on this, because he's gone from today to 24 hours to 36 hours. Look, by the end of the year,
I'm trying to widen the window as much as I can.
By December, Clowney's going to be, you know, signed somewhere. It could be the XFL. But
would anybody be willing to put a little scratch on a prop bet that Clowney doesn't play this year?
Ooh, No.
Nobody with really good odds, you wouldn't be willing to throw a little bit down on Clowney doesn't even play?
I don't think there's too much smoke with this right now.
And I know there's been
– It makes no sense for him
not to
play.
There's been some, but this is – you have to agree that since this whole thing started, this is in the last 12 hours or, well, a little longer than that, almost 24 hours. This is – there has been the most amount of smoke that there has been through this whole thing.
What we have learned on today's show in this segment is there's going to be a fire today. There could be a fire tomorrow. There could be a fire on Sunday. There may be a fire on Labor Day. There's a lot of smoke. Maybe even on Tuesday there could be a fire. That's what we've learned here this segment. We will come back. Speaking of agents, there's some news on Yakov Trenin. His agent has spoken to The Athletic. We'll tell you what we're talking about on the other side to close out hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You just made the list. Coming up at high noon, Trey Wingo at 12:30, Friday Trivia at 1 o'clock. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday, speaking of, heading into Labor Day weekend. We should mention Adrian Peterson has been released by, I was going to say the Skins, nope, the Washington football team. The Washington FT has released Adrian Peterson. He's been with them the last 2 years, so the fact that Adrian Peterson is still kicking, I mean, people have been writing him off for years.
He's been productive.
He's been productive. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about that. But he is out on the open market. We'll see if somebody is willing to give him another year in his long historical NFL career. Okay, I brought up an agent in the NHL side of things. Yakov Trenin's agent, to be exact. Reading something in The Athletic from Adam Venkin. And, Willie, I'll kind of let you set it up, and we'll discuss.
Well, here's what's been going on. There was a picture and a story that came out of Russia, and I want to say it was towards the end of last week. And there was a picture of, you know, it was a story saying that the national team for Russia has made overtures to Yakov Trenin. They really like him. And they would love for him to play. And that was taken as, okay, well, that's good for Trenin. That's great. He's a good young player. This is a good sign. Then it started to evolve into, would he want to go back over there? Would he want to stay there? And then you have these visions of rattle off years ago. But there is an important thing going on, and that is that Trenin is a restricted free agent. So he is at that stage of his career for the Predators where it's getting decision time. He's been in the system for a while. He's been very loyal. He has put in his time in Milwaukee. He has dominated at the AHL level. Took a while, but last year he completely dominated. He played some during the season for the Predators and did pretty well. He showed signs. Yeah, this guy's an NHL player. This guy's bringing something to the table. So now it appears that the KHL is making some overtures and would like to have Yakov Trenin play. So Yakov Trenin is weighing two things along with his agent. Do I take the sure bet in the KHL, make money, go home, or do I stick it out and play for the Predators? And then you have to say, well, what's the offer from the Predators? What's the commitment from the Predators then? Is it a two-way deal where the Predators have the option to send him to Milwaukee and pay him a lesser amount if he doesn't play with the big club? Or do they want to go a little more all-in and commit and give Trenin a better deal where they could maybe still send him to Milwaukee, but he would be paid an NHL salary even if he was down there? So that brings us to Adam's tweet here from about an hour ago. Trenin's agent tells me Trenin has, quote, not yet signed in the KHL. But implies that, you know, there's some talks going on there. Asked if Trenin, a restricted free agent, is moving on from the Predators. The agent said, I'm speaking with Nashville too, but not a big chance of him returning, I think. We are not going to sign two-way deal. Ominous.
Hmm.
I mean, do you blame them?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, at this point,
yeah.
If you're willing
to play in the KHL, and he's Russian, I mean, he's going home. And so if you can get guaranteed money and you're content playing there, now it may jeopardize his chances someday of being, if your goal ultimately is to play in the NHL as a regular, then this might vary from there. You know, I don't know if this is the best move for that. But I understand, he's got leverage. He's got some leverage here. He might force the Predators' hand to say it might cost you a little extra if you want Trenin to stay in the fold. Now, they would retain his rights even if he goes to the KHL. It's not like the Predators lose him forever necessarily, but...
Yeah, but they've been down that road.
They've been down that road.
Okay. Look, I don't think this is a ploy to say, hey, just want to let you guys know there's real interest in Trenin going home and playing in the KHL, like just going back home. I don't see it as that. I view this as just a ploy by his agent saying, look, if the Predators have visions of him playing in Milwaukee again, that's just not going to happen. Either he is going to be on the NHL club this upcoming season or else. That's the way I took it. And you know what? At 23 years old, he'd be 24 next season. I mean, say he's paid his dues. I mean, it's time to figure out either they have something or they don't. Either he's good enough or he's not. I've said this before since the season is concluded. It's time with some of these young guys. Either you have something or you don't. And in fact, if you take a chance on losing, like if you're not willing to give him what he's looking for that's reasonable, then you probably need to be moving him in a deal. Like, you can't just let him go off and disappear because, like I said, they've been down this road before. It didn't work out so well, you know, because Rads didn't come back anytime soon. He was gone for a while, and you don't want that. You don't want to go down that path.
He did eventually, but we also know
it was never the same as we know. never the same. Well-told story.
He enjoyed Scottsdale.
That's the way I view it. Maybe you guys look at it differently.
I tend to agree with you, Darren. And I saw enough from Trenin. We just had this discussion yesterday in terms of the Predators' prospect pool right now. They're a little thin, right? Corey Pronman from The Athletic has them ranked 29th. I like the prospects that are at the top of the Predators' list. And a lot of them are on the verge of being NHL players. It's just not a really deep pool that they have. That's why they're ranked low. So there's a lot riding on Trenin. There's a lot riding on guys like Pitlick and Afanasyev and the top Predators prospects that they have. Obviously Tolvanen, obviously Fabro. But I think it's time for Trenin. The Predators like to, you know, if you're David Poile, certainly you want to keep your roster as flexible as possible. You want to be able to have some guys you can move up and down freely from Nashville to Milwaukee because you're going to have guys hurt. You have to have that. You don't want to start losing guys. But Trenin is at the stage of his career where it's time, you know, it's time to decide, is he part of your group or is he not? Because he has the option of going to the KHL. Most players aren't willing to do that. So it's an intriguing little piece of leverage that Trenin has.
Yeah, but I see him, you know, when we did bring this up yesterday, Willie, I think he makes the team. So he has to weigh the option of, okay, do I want a shot at the NHL or do I want to go to the KHL? And I know it's a negotiation tool that he has, the leverage as you use, but I do believe he's on this team. I think they've seen enough out of him that he was going to make it, and there are going to be some pieces that aren't here anymore, and Trenin would have a spot. So
I think you're right, but where?
But his agent is saying, okay, I want to see that on paper.
Right.
That's what his agent is saying.
Like, he wants the most money.
Prove it with the contract.
That's words. Giving me something in writing.
Prove it with the contract.
And I can also understand it from the Predators' point of view of, because they've been very smart about this, is they want to – they probably think that too. But if they can get away with a two-way contract that doesn't cost them as much, then they're going to do that as well. So it's
leverage.
It's leverage. It's a negotiation tactic from both sides. But I think you have to give Trennan's crew the upper hand because they have the KHL card that they can play.
Well, also, let's consider Pronman's valuation. Just as an independent evaluator. One person's opinion, but a pretty good one, right, for The Athletic. He projects Trennan as an NHL player for sure, but questions whether he will be a top six guy ever in his career. And I would say the same thing. I think Trennan he was a second-round pick. Now, to his credit, he absolutely exploded from a scoring standpoint at the AHL level last year. He scored a ton of goals. And it's not like he showed no offensive skill when he was at the NHL level. He made some plays, right? There's something there telling you, you know, he can chip in. He's not going to be just a grinder that never scores. He might have a chance to score some. But I don't know how high his ceiling is in terms of a huge impact player. But I think he is a valuable piece that brings a lot to the table, what they need, right? He's not a perimeter player. He is a guy that has a physical edge. He's a hard player. You know, he goes to the tough areas. He can dish it out. He's physical. They need that. So I think this is a really compelling situation they're in. Also, remember, the second line is where they've got to address things. The third and the fourth lines, they got a lot of options there. So Trennan is an option. I think he's one of the best options. But it's crowded in the bottom six, right? The second line is where they have a huge hole right now, especially with the pending free agents. So this is not an easy one to – it's not an easy puzzle to put together. But I want to have Trennan in my fold if I can.
Well, you took it where I was going next because we hadn't brought it up until you just brought it up, and that's exactly where I was going. What's his style of play? I don't need to say anymore. I've already said my piece on that. You know, everybody knows how I feel about that. That's exactly what they need more of. And to me, it's a no-brainer. To me.
But you got his agent saying not a big chance of him returning to Nashville.
Nah, I don't necessarily buy that. No, I don't. I believe this is him laying down the gauntlet of, look, if you – there's obviously been discussions behind the scenes, and he's saying, yeah, two-way deal's not happening. You are going to make him a part of your roster this year, and the NHL – it's NHL or bust, and bust means KHL.
Yeah.
That's what I take from it.
I don't necessarily blame them for that. So
no, I don't either. Look, like I said, he's going to be 24 this upcoming season. I mean, he's paid his dues. He was a second round draft pick in 2015. I mean, it's time to either he's good enough or he's not. And I know they probably know the answer behind the scenes because you should at this point. Either he's good enough at the NHL level. Or he's not. It's just a matter of if they don't think he is long term, then, like I said, then you need to deal him, probably.
But the question is he anything more? Like, is he a fourth liner? Because if that just adds the crash and bang, albeit maybe a good fourth liner. Is he a third liner that is a checker that, you know, can play against other teams' top guys? Could he ever be a second liner? I think that's a little bit of a reach. So we're talking about ultimately a third or fourth line guy, but he's got those ingredients that are important.
You said the third or fourth, and I get it. There's a lot of options there, but you know, I think you got to put him. There's no way to answer that because he's
played
20.
So what's your contract?
He's played 21 games in the NHL.
Let's say we all agree he deserves a one-way contract. Okay, that's a given. He's a restricted free agent. Are you offering him a one-year deal? Are you investing a little more as a, you know, we'll guarantee a couple years at a reasonable price? So, like, how would you approach it? That's a tough one. 1 year? 2 years?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have an issue.
That's where it gets hard, right?
I wouldn't have an issue with 2 years. Reasonable, 2 years. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
One way.
Yeah.
See, that's enticing. To me, that would be an interesting way to throw it back in his court. All right, we'll go 2 years, reasonable price, but one way. You know, $1 million, 1.1, maybe not even that, right? Because at the end of the day, he hasn't done a whole lot at the NHL level. He hasn't had the chance to. And I think it's fair to say he did not impress as much in the summer camp the latest impression wasn't hugely remarkable. He didn't win a job, didn't really get a shot. He wasn't able to practice the first couple of days. So, you know, it's not like they came out of that camp saying, wow, Trennan, he took a huge step. But that's a very small part of
the
equation.
But if you are looking for some, and I don't think he's the answer. I think he is an addition to, if you are looking to toughen up your team, somebody to put their nose, stick their head into the tough areas, willing to be more physical, bring a physical element, which we saw what he did with Chara. We all remember that. If you're looking for that, like I said, I don't think he's it. Like, I think you have to bring in a proven guy to do what I've been saying, the 40 grit sandpaper proven guy. But if you can also have another one, you can never, in my opinion, you need more than one. Then if you're looking for those elements, then he fits that bill.
And he's
within your system. So
I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
And I think having more than one of those guys is not a bad thing. So
nope. All right, we'll come back. You just made the list to begin the next hour. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.